Today's, I want one of those driverless cars. Today's duff is Kuf Zayin. We are at Kufov Ahmed Bey's top line. Tony Chada. One Bryce says, so you got this bloke, and he's supposed to be working in the field, right? And we said in the Mishnah that if you plant it and it was eaten by grasshoppers, so we had the whole discussion, when is it Makas Medina, when it's not. So here's the thing. Parm Rishona Ushnia. Let's say he planted the field once and the grasshoppers came and ate it all. Then he planted a shnia. He planted a second time and the grasshoppers came again and ate it up. Once that happened twice, after it happened twice, he doesn't have to try anymore.
Three strikes and you're out.
Two strikes and you're out. He says, this Bryce says that if it didn't work the first two times, forget it. It's a Makas Medina, it's never going to work. V'tanya Idach, the other Bryce says, Shlishi Zerud, no, third time keep trying. Revi'i Sena Zera, three strikes and you're out. Yeah, fourth one, it's not going to work. So what's going on here? Answers, Gemara, Lekasha Haka Rabbi Hakav Shimon Gamliel. This is a famous machlekes all over in Shas between Rabbi and Shimon Gamliel about how many times something has to happen to be a chazaka. Haka Rabbi Dama betrays him and you have a chazaka. According to Rabbi, two times already a chazaka. Something happened twice, then you assume it's going to happen again forever.
Established a pattern.
And Haka Shimon Gamliel. It needs to happen three times before you establish a pattern, and therefore, everyone agrees that if it's a chazaka, that it's the grasshoppers are eating it, then you can't fight against the hashgacha protis. Yeah, is it the third time? Yeah, is it the third time?
Is it after three times
he's muad the next time, or is it the third time already that he's muad? Yeah, correct. Okay, Omri Shlokish Loi Shanu. The Mishnah that the whole concept that we're talking about is only Shazara Vitzamcha V'Achla Chagav. Now what happened? He planted it, and it grew, and then the locusts came and ate it. Avazara V'Litzamcha, but if he planted and it didn't work at all, Matzi Amalei Balakarka, then the Balakarka can say, you must have done something wrong. And Kol Yomei Zera Zarela, as long as it's still the planting season, you've got to keep trying. Yeah. Zara Lava Ozil. Yeah, okay. Viad Ema. So what do you mean Kol Yomei Zera? What's that mean? That's another one of these. All the planting season. That's not a very mathematical thing.
I touched it wrong. I thought he said Kol Yomei, all of my days, Zora, I always planted the fields. And Zora grew.
I thought that first.
Zara Lava Ozil.
Okay.
In the alternate pshat.
Maybe Yatskov says that. But anyway, Kol Yomei is that you have to keep going until the end of the Zera season. So when is the end of the Zera season? V'yad Emas, when does the season officially end? Omar of Papa, Ado Osu Arisi Midabra, till you get to that time in the year when the workers come from the field, the sharecroppers, the arisim, are out in the field, they come, v'kaimi kima arishayu, and the star kima, which Rashi goes through a very lengthy explanation, kima is a star that's in the tail of Aries, which is one of the zodiac blokes. Drestro says that kima is a constellation, maybe Draco, I don't know who Draco is, and he says it's not the Pleiades, which is what people normally think it is.
Don't know.
That's right. Just in case you thought it was going to be the Pleiades, it ain't. They always think it's
not
the Pleiades. They always think it's the Pleiades, but it's not, says Jastro. Anyhow, I'll call upon him a particular constellation. In Rashi goes through a whole thing about the zodiac, so obviously we know.
How can you see all this during daylight hours?
You don't have to see it.
No, you're just aware of what it's
an astronaut. If you're an astronomer, you know the zodiacs. They have 12 of them, right?
Last night and you looked up in the sky.
You get your planisphere
you know
that you got. One second. You get the planisphere, right? From that you had from Stewie in Form 3, right? And you know that the zodiac, there's 1 hour in each 12-hour cycle when the zodiac is. So each hour of the day, one is coming up, the zodiac's constellation is coming up, and the other one is sinking, and it's going like that, right? So, and each month, a different one starts at the beginning of the day, yeah? And then, so therefore, if it's getting to, if you know that Aries is starting the beginning of, well, whichever one you know starts at the beginning of the day, at any hour of the day, there's one that's at the top, yeah, as it goes around. So something, if it starts in the first hour of the day, then it'll get to the top halfway through the day, the sixth hour, right? So if you want to explain what's at the top, when you say that, they can't, so they come in from the field, so the normal time to come in from the field is in the 10th hour, Rashi says. Yeah, so let's say 4 p.m. is knockoff time, or between 3 and 4, the end of the 10th hour, 4 p.m., okay? Yeah, 4 p.m. is knockoff time, not any good building site. So the time in the year when the 4th, where 4 p.m., the end of Aries is in the, it's directly overhead. Bereshayu, right? It's right overhead. Yeah, if you want to do the whole, I won't go into it now. If you want to do the whole cheshbon of how they work it out, there's a whole long rashi here. But the calculation works out that it's the month of Adar. Yemei Adar, the rashi. Okay.
So that's the end of the planting season.
So that's the end of the planting season. So, of course, in the northern hemisphere, the winter is, so you start planting when after Sukkot, right? And when the winter's starting, because then you get the rain. And the end is Adar, which is March.
So which is spring. Spring. So really, really a month before harvest in Bali.
Yeah, and that's right. So it's really...
That's
right.
That's Bali.
So basically what he's saying is, according to what Rav Papa says, yeah, he has to keep trying until the winter finishes, or till the Zera season, which is Adar, finishes. And if by then, if it hasn't grown by then forget it. Okay, so that's what Rav Papa says. So we'll ask a kasha. Rav Shimon Gamliel says an emir of Meir. Rav Shimon ben Menasya emir kidvar. And he also holds the same thing. So in the Torah in Parshas Bereishis, Parshas Noach, and Parshas Noach after the flood, God says, "I'm not going to do any more floods. Oid kol yomei ha'aretz zera v'kotzir v'koyer v'choyim v'yom v'layla lo yishboisu." So he says the seasons are going to not stop. So we're going to have the seasons going. So what are the seasons? So most of us think about, we think about four seasons, but in Torah there's six seasons. Yeah. Each season goes for 2 months. And just to make life more fun, it's not 2 months. It's half of 1 month, the whole month in the next, and the half of the next month. That's how the seasons work. So they go from mid of 1 month to the middle of 2 months hence.
It makes sense that the seasons don't particularly coincide with the calendar.
Yeah, okay. I'll call upon him. So how does it work? Chatzi Tishrei, Mar Cheshvan, and Chatzi Kislev v'Zera. So half of Tishrei, that means basically from Sukkot onwards, and all of Mar Cheshvan, halfway through Kislev, is Zera. That's the planting season. Chatzi Kislev Teves, and Chatzi Shvat, is Chorif. That's winter. That's when it's cold. Chatzi Shvat, Adar, and Chatzi Nisan is Koyer. Koyer is different from Chorif. It's also cold, but it's different cold. Chatzi Nisan, Iyar, and Chatzi Sivan is Kotzir. That's the harvesting time. Chatzi Sivan, Tammuz, and Chatzi Yov is Kayitz. That is the Kayitz season, the middle of the summer. Chatzi Ov and Elul and Chatzi Tishrei is Choyim. It's still hot to the end of the summer. So those are the seasons. Rabbi Yehuda, Meinem, Tishrei. So this is Rabbi Yehuda, who agrees also that it's Tishrei that it starts from. So if the Zera starts when? From halfway through Tishrei till halfway through Kislev. Rab Shimon Meinem Racheshvin. Rab Shimon agrees with the 2 month cycle, but he starts the whole thing 1 month later.
And this is why you have a machlokes in when is Rosh Hashanah the Lonis, because that depends on the rainfall season, 90 days from when you say Geshem.
That's
the
summer and summer.
Yeah,
but their machlokes is only 15 days apart, so it doesn't quite fit.
The inyan of the difference in the seasons.
I don't know. Could be. Rab Shimon counts on Mar Cheshvan. So he does the same cycle, but start a month later. So halfway through Mar Cheshvan till halfway through Tevis, that's going to be the Zera season, the seeding the seedings thing.
So when the Torah uses for Nisan Chodesh or Aviv,
yeah,
is that's a different sort of a concept,
yeah,
to what we're dealing with here.
Well, that's the comment on the
no, but weather. Aviv is also to do with the grain. Yeah, but Aviv is, but the word Aviv is also to do with the grain. Yeah, so it's the grain, the harvesting there. Okay, so what do we see from that? Man mekel bechulu. Who is the most mekel? What do you mean by mekel? In this case, mekel means to make it the latest, yeah? To say that the zera goes the latest. Who's the one who says that the latest... Who was the one with the latest time? Rav Shimon. Yeah, because Rav Shimon starts from a cheshvan. Sorry, just let me just go back. Let me backtrack a second. Rabbi Yehuda Meina B'Tishrei means from the beginning of Tishrei. Yeah, so he argues with the previous one. The previous one says it starts in the middle of the month. Rabbi Yehuda says it starts in the beginning. So Tishrei and Cheshvan is Zera. And Rabbi Shimon says Cheshvan and Kislev is Zera. He says it doesn't start in the middle of the month, it starts at the beginning of the month. Okay, so according to the Tanakam... so that's 15 minutes off, yeah. 15 days off, yeah, correct. Okay, so according to the first guys, Zera finishes halfway through Kislev. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Zera finishes at the end of Kislev. But according to...
At the end of Cheshvan,
I'm sorry, yeah. According to Rav Shimon, it's the end of Kislev. Right? So who was the latest? Rav Shimon, end of Kislev. Yeah? But he certainly doesn't say Ador. He wanted to know when's the end of Zera. So according to the latest opinion, the end of Zera is the end of Kislev. So how'd you get to Ador? Everything, well, like Kasha, how to kill them in a Becharf, how to kill them in a Befeli. It depends...
It depends on what sort of grains
you're talking about. So Rashi explains, Charfi means the ones that grow early, the early ones, the Charif, they're quick.
The beginning of the Charif.
Which Rashi says is the Chitin, Shupin.
What do you call it?
In Bavera, when it was Marcus Borod.
Yeah, right,
so
yeah.
The Torah says which ones were smitten because they were...
Really firm, standing firm.
The one, yeah, the ones that were hard.
Shifrin is oats, isn't it?
Shifrin is spelt, I think. So wheat and spelt are early, and afeli means late, like a fail of darkness as the dark's falling. So urin and kidneys, which is barley, and kidneys and is roin badora, she says. So that's the late season.
So
it depends which type of produce, of grain.
So in other words, barley therefore has a very, very short growth between planting and harvesting. It's very short.
Same with the beans and things, also legumes.
Regardless of what your opinion is,
yeah.
The only thing to do is to sow and try your luck. See what happens.
Yeah, but you got to...
No, you don't. Because some of them are wasting your time.
Yeah.
I've given you my field to work on.
Yeah, it wastes his time. The worker says, I'm going off to do something else. I'm going to get a new job doing something else.
So to what extent can I tell you, have another go, keep trying. Yeah. You know, the field's a good field, you keep trying. So we're trying to establish, when's the deadline when you say draw a line under it and write off your losses?
Yeah, so you don't just keep trying forever, otherwise just wasting your time. Okay, next. Rabbi Yehuda Omer im kill the men of Amoyes. Rabbi Yehuda says, if the deal was, then it's not he's going to give him a proportion of the grain or an amount from the grain, but he's going to pay him money. So he's working in the field, and he's going to get the grain, and he's going to pay the balabas money for the rights to work in that field. So Rabbi Yehuda says that there is no such thing as Makas Medina on money. If it didn't grow, bad luck, he still has to pay the money. Ahu Gavra, the Kibbalah of Israel, but who to me, he accepted to plant the field, what's it called, garlics. Shum, yeah. Agura dinahar Malka Saba, on the banks of the old man river, the old king river. Bezuzi, and he was going to pay him money, and that was the deal. He would plant the garlic, and he'd pay the balabas money. And what happened was, he stuck in the Malka Saba. The old man river dried up, and he couldn't plant his garlic. Also, the Kama the Rava, so he came to Rava, and he said, do I still have to pay? Do I still have to pay the money? It's Amalei. So Rava said, Nahar Malka Saba lo yovel lemischa. The old man river doesn't normally dry up. Makas Medina he. Therefore, I pass against the Makas Medina, you don't have to pay. Zil, Nechile, or you have to pay something, but you can deduct. You can deduct from it. Amalei Rabbanan, the rabbi said to Rava, Hanatan Rabbi Yehuda, Emen Kibla, the Beman of Amboyes, Benkech, Benkech, Eirim, Rakla, Benkech, Uroi. Rabbi Yehuda said that if it's money that he has to pay him, then there is no Makas Medina. And he agreed to pay money. So even though the old man river dried up, he should have to pay the whole amount. As Amal Harava said, lest the chashla Rabbi Yehuda. Nobody holds up Rabbi Yehuda, so therefore you don't have to do that. Yep. Okay, next Mishnah. Hamakabel said, Hamakabel basar kur chitim l'shana. The guy's makabel the field that he's going to give him 10 kurs of wheat per year, v'loksa, and it was smitten, noisin l'mitoicha. Then he gives him from the field itself. Yeah, so he's supposed to give him a certain amount of grain. So he gives him smitten grain. In other words, what do you mean smitten? That it's not quality, it's poor quality. Yeah, so he gives him the poor quality stuff that's in there. If it was super quality, so the worker wants to keep it for himself, he can't say, I'm only going to buy you Kohl's brand, and I'm keeping the good stuff for myself. He has to give him whatever the field grew, that's what you get. Ahu Gavra, same guy, different guy. Ahu Gavra de Kibul Aralas Fasta, the guy accepted he's going to plant the field for behemoth food. And what he's going to pay for it is going to be a kur of barley. So he's planting asfasta, but the payment is in barley. Of the asfasta, so he grew the asfasta really quick. So he got all the asfasta he wanted. And what he did was, he planted up vizarasari. And then he thought, you know what? I'm supposed to pay barley for the use of the field. I'm going to plant the barley in the field itself. And I'll give him that barley. Veloku, and it was smitten. Veloku hanisari, that barley was smitten. So he's giving him rubbish barley. So he asked Ravina, "Ki hai gavna mai? What's the deal with this case? Is it like what's said in the Mishnah that when you're giving a certain amount from you give it from the field, whether it's good or not, and therefore he planted it in the field, he gives him what he got in the field, Eloi or not? Because over here the deal was he's going to pay him barley. He was only meant to be planting behemoth food anyhow." He told me, Tommy, is it like a Mishnah? Hasam la yavda avish tuchus demara. When he, when it was laka, yeah. So what are we saying? It didn't get.
The earth didn't do the job.
Yeah. If he would have planted us faster, it would have worked. But he decided to go and plant barley, but that wasn't part of the deal. The owner never said anything about planting barley. So he should have gone and bought barley from the market. So therefore, he still paid it. In the Mishnah, the land didn't do what it wanted. So therefore, it's not the worker's fault. Of the Avish Chusa Demara, over here, the land did what it was supposed to. He decided that instead of buying barley, he's going to use this guy's land to plant the barley he has to pay. Well, that wasn't part of the deal. So bad luck, and therefore, he has to pay him good barley. Ahu Gavra de Kibul Pardes Mechavre, another guy. And he accepted an orchard from his friend, Be'eser Dani Chamra, 10 barrels of wine. So it was a vineyard, but he didn't say, I'm going to give you X amount of grapes. He said, I'll give you wine as payment for the use of the field to grow the grapes. And so he had grapes, he had wine. So he took, what did he do? He planted grapes, he took his chalik of the grapes, and he made wine out of it, and it was sitting in the barrels. It wasn't in the field anymore, it was in the barrels. While it was in the barrels, Takifahu Khamra, he was going to give that wine to the balabos, and the wine went off. So the wine originally came from that field.
How many years you have to wait to get your wine here?
It was quick wine.
Because you got all the...
Huh?
All in the Tavaya before you... Before
who
you
told you it's a brand new... Who says it's a brand new field? No, I didn't plant. No.
So he harvested grapes.
Yeah, who says he planted it? From scratch. It was a pardis.
He says he took the pardis. It
was a pardis. The pardis was already there. Sober of Kahana Lamei, Master of Kahana thought, Hainu Masnissin, Loxanus Lamitocha. He planted the grapes. From the grapes of that very vineyard, he made the wine and it went off. So he thought, you can give him the vinegar. That's what you get. You get what you get. And they don't get upset. Zomule Ravashi. Ravashi said, Midomi, Hasabli of the Avish Tuchusa. That's talking about where he planted barley and it grew rubbish barley, so everyone suffers. Abrahacha of the Avish Tuchusa. The grapes grew, and he took out the grapes and harvested them and made wine. Some point later, while the wine's sitting in his barrel, it went off. What's it got to do with the Bal HaKarka? It's nothing to do with the owner of the land. He didn't. It's in your barrels. It went off. Bad luck for you. So therefore, he has to pay him the full amount. Ravashi is moide that if the grapes themselves went off, it wasn't that he made wine and later it went off. If the grapes themselves from that vineyard went off, then he is able to tell him, you're sharing the loss because it was your field's grapes that kicked itself in the head. Okay, says the Mishnah Vayter, if he agrees to plant barley, he should not plant it wheat because the wheat is damaging the land more than the barley. Yeah, so you haven't got a right to do more damage to the land. But if he's supposed to do wheat, he can do barley because he's damaging the land less. Yeah. Again, Rashi says that this one is talking about v'chachiras only. As we said, each one of these is only one or the other, because the guy's going to get his same produce. Yeah. So therefore, he doesn't have to worry about how well the land is doing, because he's going to get his 100 bushels no matter what. So therefore, the only question here is whether you're going to damage the land or not, and therefore he can plant something that's going to do less damage. He cannot plant something that's going to do more damage. Shimon Gamliel says you cannot change. Even if you say it's doing less damage, you have to do what you agreed. We'll see in the Gemara why. Same idea with grain versus kidneys. Kidneys causes more damage to the land for some reason, and therefore if he's supposed to do grain, he can't do kidneys, but if he agreed to do kidneys, he can do grain. And again, I'm Shimon Gamliel Oyser. Amar Chizda, my time of Shimon Gamliel, why does Shimon Gamliel say you can't do it? You're causing less damage than you had agreed. So why shouldn't you be allowed to do it? Answers the Gemara, Duchsiv She'evis Yisrael La'yasu Avla, the remnants of the Yidden do not do something that's face crooked, something off, bad. V'lo yedab ruchosav, they don't speak falsehoods. And you won't find words of trickery.
Iniquity.
You will not find in their mouths an expression of trickery. In other words, you got to keep your word. Forget about how much damage you're doing to the ground. If you said you're doing wheat, do wheat. You
can't.
Yeah, don't do. You said wheat and you're doing barley and making also dreidelach. You have to do what you say. That's it. The kasha is magbis purim. You collected money to give for the poor people for their surah, purim surah, matanas levyonim, but it was dafki for the surah. Yeah, so you took up a collection and you took money for the field for the surah for purim. Is the purim? It has to be given for that purpose. You don't make a cheshbon. How much money does a guy need? Poor man comes and says, oh, I need food. I need money to buy food for the Sudas Purim. And you collected $103. And you worked out he only needs 100. Just give him the 103 and let him buy an extra chocolate. Right? A chocolate biscuit. Yeah. Yeah. So that's it. You're not medactic. Yeah, if whatever you collected,
you get a packet of bourbon.
Whatever you collected, you give him not medactic. However, the poor man is not going to go buy shoelaces with that. He's got to go and buy chocolate biscuits, or he's got to buy his suda. He can't go and use that money for something else. Unless there was a condition made as part of the shul committee, the Anshe Ha'ir, that this is a takana that we're allowing the poor man to switch it for shoelaces. Otherwise, stam, you're not allowed to. Divrei Rabbi Yankiv, sha'am mishum Rabbi Meir. That's what Rabbi Yankiv says in the name of Rabbi Meir. Wonderful. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, to the top of the page, is Mekel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel over here is lenient. So one second, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the one who says, you got to do exactly what you say. So what do you mean he's Mekel? I mean he's Mekel that he could change it for shoelaces. Ah, you said you're using it for Sudas Purim, and you have to do exactly what you said. As Omar Abaya says, yeah, you're right. It's not just a concept that you have to do exactly what you said. There's a twist in the tail. Twist in the tail? Whatever it is. Time of the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is Kidamar. The reason is like Mar. When Abaya says Mar, it means Rabba, who was his teacher. The Amar Mar, because Rabba taught Hamar the Nechale the Tisper Ara. If somebody wants to stuff up his field, I don't know a better word than stuff up, if you want to make it not grow well, Lizra is Shata Chiti Veshata Sari. You should do 1 year wheat, 1 year barley, without preparing in between. Shata shesi shasa erev, 1 year planted widthway and one plant lengthway, and then you'll mess it up. So therefore, when the guy made a deal that I want you to plant wheat, yeah, you can't just say I'm going to do barley; it does less damage. Maybe he did.
Years a cycle.
Maybe he did wheat last year, and if you do barley now, you're going to mess it up because it's you're doing this alternative order. Yeah, so therefore, that's the reason. So that's what I'm showing on says he can't do it. It's because you can't assume you're not going to do damage because you could. But lo yomar on it like kari vitani. That's only if he didn't sort of plow it up and make it blank, start with a clean slate. I will kari vitani less lomba. But if he completely cleared it and made it brand new from the beginning, then he doesn't have to worry about that. Okay, vaita tvo lays on a kidneys. If it was supposed to be grain, he should not plant a kidneys. Master the Rabbi Yehuda the Rabin. Rabbi Yehuda quoted this Mishnah to Rabin, and his wording was for Yisraelu kidneys, not lo Yisraelu like our Mishnah, like we have. But he said if he was supposed to plant grain, he may plant kidneys instead. So Rabin said back to Rabbi Yehuda, but we have in our Mishnah. Actually, maybe now that I think about it, Rabbi Yehuda was probably quoting a brisa. Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda gave him a brisa which says he can plant kidneys. So Rabbi says back to him, but the Mishnah says that if it's supposed to be tfuah, he's not allowed to plant a kidneys. And so he says, no, it depends. Halon v'halahu in Eretz Yisrael. So lon is bovil. So the Mishnah, so in Eretz Yisrael, so Rashi explains over here, in Eretz Yisrael, there's mountains, and therefore you have to worry about weakening the land, and therefore if you were supposed to plant grain, you're not allowed to plant beans, because it weakens the land more. But in Bavel, the land is sort of old and it's got the swamps and the water and
canals and things,
and therefore you can't weaken the land any more than it already is, and therefore you can change it if you want to. So that's the difference. Amar Rabbi Yehuda the Rabban Bar Nachman. Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabban Bar Nachman, Rabin Ochi, my brother Rabin, Hani Tachli de Bekisna. Those shachlayim is some kind of a, what is it? I don't know, translation. Some kind of a vegetable.
It grows in the off-season
cress,
in the field or something.
I think Jastro said.
It grows
and it's growing amongst the flax. So therefore, what's happening is it's wrecking the flax. Yeah. It grows wild. You've got a flax field, and all of a sudden there's these shachlayim growing in there. So therefore, if you pull them out, ein behemishum gezel. Yeah, if you come and pull them out, it's not considered stealing because you're actually doing the guy a favor because kol zman it's there, it's weakening the flax. And the flax is worth more, and therefore if you pulled it out, you could keep it. But if it's on the borderline, then yesh b'mem mishum gezel. So it's not amongst the flax, it's just on the edge. Yesh b'mem gezel, then if you take it out, you are stealing. V'im hukshu lezera. But if it's hardened, so once it's hardened, it doesn't do any more damage. Yeah, the damage it does is when it's growing and it's soft. But if it's hardened to the point where it could be used now to plant the next one, then it's stealing even if you take it from amongst the flax, because it's not going to do any more damage, and now you're taking something that has some value. My time and my da'afsid, because once it's hardened, it's already finished doing whatever damage it's going to do. So you can't say I'm doing you a favor by removing this from your field, because you're not doing me any favors. It was already, whatever happened, and now it's worth something. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Rabban Bar Rav Nachman. So now a few things Rabbi Yehuda told Rabban Bar Rav Nachman. Rabin Ochi, my brother Rabin, Hani Dili Diloch V'Diloch Dili. They were neighbors, and we have trees on the border, and some of my roots are going into your field, and some of your roots are going into my field. We're very intertangled here. Is therefore nohag b'nei metzra. So the normal custom of neighbors is ilan hanoita lakan, that the tree, whatever is, so Rashi says noitim means a sharoshin, that whichever side the roots are going to, that's who gets the fruit. And it's lakan. So therefore, it all depends on where the roots are. So even if the roots are on my side, even if the fruit is in your side, that's mine, and there's viki verki. The itmar, as it was stated, ilan ha'imid ala meitzar. You have a tree on a border between two fields. I'm a rav, anoit lakan, anoit lakan. Rav said, this is just what Rav Yehuda said, that if it's whichever side is the roots are on, belongs to that person. Shmuel lamar chokin. Shmuel just says you take the whole tree and you divide it 50-50. Okay, mesave. So the question is, the Brisa says ilan ha'imra al mesay achleiku, exactly like Shmuel, that you split it 50-50 to yufta the Rav. Rav says you don't split it 50-50. You work out how many roots are on this side, how many roots are on that side, and you give him lakan and lakan. Is Tirgum or Shmuel Aliba the Rav and Mamalev Kolam Eitzar Kula? So Shmuel will answer, no, that's not a raya for me and Akash on Rav, because you can say that one is when it's mamish 50-50. It fills the whole border. So Rav was talking about where it's not, if it's actually 50-50, then there's no difference between Khan and Khan and Yachleikul. They're both getting 50%. Rav was talking about where it's not exactly 50% when it's on the border. Yeah, so therefore, if it's 75% on my side and 25% on your side, I get 75% of the fruit and you get 25% of the fruit. Yeah, and Shmuel says, no, you always split it. So this Brisa, which says that you split it, is lav dafke akash on Rav, because Rav will tell you, Rav will agree that if the split is 50-50, if the tree is planted in such a way that it's 50% roots on that side and 50% roots on that side, then we're going to split 50-50, and then it's going to end up the same outcome as Shmuel. Yeah, is Fred the Gemara ihachi ebazoy mala memra? What's the chiddush? Of course, if the tree is mamish halfway and it's 50-50, there's nothing to talk about. What other possible way could there be to split it up? Yeah, so of course everyone's going to agree. After the Gemara letzricha, the tani tuna lechad gisa, the fruit are on one side, so the roots are 50-50, but the fruit on top is a bit more on one side than on the other. So you would think to split it. I have a katz in my memra, so what? We all know it goes after the roots. Who cares whether the fruit is hanging this way or that way? Is Mahuda Tema, you might have thought Amalei Ploig Hochi, that he could say that you take, you know, the top, but I'll take the half that's at, I'll take the half that's on my side, not the fruit, I'll take the half of the part that's on my, the bigger half. I'll take the bigger half that's on my side. You take the smaller half that's on your side. Who tells you to do it? You decided the ownership of the tree is based on what's underground. So you're trying to do on the top and saying, well, that part's mine and that part's mine. If we both own it equally, maybe go, instead of north-south, go east-west. And that half's mine and that half's mine. Who told you to split it so that it's advantageous for you? Okay, next one. Don't buy a field right next to the city. That was just advice. It's not a halacha. It's an advice. It's not good to have a field right next to the city. Not allowed to stand next to someone's field when it's fully grown, ready to harvest, because of ayin hara. Yeah. So he says, don't put a field next to the city because everyone walks past it. And you're going to get iron horror. That's the reason why he says he shouldn't do it. Fred the Gemara, it ain't so. Vashkechina, Rabbi Abba, Talmud the Rav. Rabbi Abba found the students of Rav. Amalahu, Mayom, Rav, Bahani Kroy. How does Rav learn Pshat in the following psukim? Baruch atah ba'ir, blessed are you in the city. Baruch atah ba'sada, blessed are you in the field. Baruch atah ba'vayecha, blessed are you when you're coming. Baruch atah ba'tisecha, blessed are you when you're going. V'yomru le'ya, and the students of Rav answered, Hachi yom ha-Rav. Baruch atah ba'ir means, so you hate beischa, samach l'beis ha-knesis, that your house should be next to the shul. You shouldn't have to walk too far, like 7-Eleven, yeah? Baruch atah ba'sada, blessed are you in the field, means, so you hunuch ha-secha craving le'ir. That your field should be close to the city, so you shouldn't have to schlep too hard to get your fruit and stuff into town. Baruch atah b'vayecha means shalai timtzi ishtecha sofik nida b'shas b'yoslo b'na derech. When you come home from a long journey, shouldn't find your wife being a sofik nida. And as Rashi says, and kol shekena vaday nida, so it should be available. And baruch atah b'tzeisecha shayuhud tzatzayim e'echa k'moyscha, that your children should be like you. Yeah. So therefore, what do we see amongst all that? That it's good to have in the chasim kravim le'ir, that your property should be close to the city. V'amalahu Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan continued that conversation with the Talmidim of Rav, and he said, V'amalahu, and he said to them, Rabbi Abba said to the Talmidim of Rav, Rabbi Yochanan lo yamar hachi. Rabbi Yochanan didn't say exactly like Rav. Rabbi Yochanan said, El baruch atah be'ir, shehei beis hakitzes amal shechanachan. Not that you have a shul near home, but you have a dani near your table. That as soon as you eat, if you have to go before you eat, because you're supposed to not eat when you need to go, then you don't have to waste a lot of time going out to the outhouse in wherever it is. But you have one right near your table. but being next door to the shul is not such a great thing. Because you get schar halicha. So to walk, to be right next to shul, you're missing out on the schar halicha. So you're better off not being. You're better off not being too close to shul. Then we have Baruch Atah Basadim. This is Rabbi Yechon is still talking. Basadim means that your property should be split in three. Shlish b'tfuah, one third should be grain. Shlish b'zeisim, one third olives. And shlish b'gafanim, one third vines. Baruch Atah B'vayechah, or Baruch Atah B'tzeisecha, Shatahei Yitziyoscha min ha'ilam, ki b'yoscha le'ilam, that when you leave the world, it should be the same as when you came into the world. Ma b'yoscha le'ilam b'lechei, just as you came into the world without a sin. Af Yitziyoscha min ha'ilam b'lechei, similarly, when you leave the world, it should be without a sin. So therefore, that was the machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yechon and Ha'ilam Pshat. But what do we see from Rav? That it's good. It's good to have your field next to the city. So why did Rabbi Yehuda tell Rabbi Yehuda was a Talmud of Rav? Doch, why did he tell Chanin that it's better not to be next to the city? Everything well, like Kasha. Hadam Mahadale Shurda Veraska. If you've surrounded it with bricks and a fence and a stone wall, so no one can see it, so there's no iron horror, no problem. Therefore, it's better to be close by. Hadale Mahadale Shurda Veraska. If it is not. If it's not surrounded by a fence, then it's no good because of ayin hara. Then, so that Baruch Atah Ba'ir, I'm going to stop there. Baruch. Now we get to the klolus. Baruch Atah Ba'ir was the brachas in Parshas Kisavo, which was followed by the Tertucha. So Vehesir Hashem is now. Oh no, that's still part of the brachas, but we'll do it tomorrow anyway.